I'm going to be reading from Luke chapter 2 this morning. It's going to just be a little devotion for my meditation this week as I thought about Christmas and the birth of Christ. And I just want to share with you some of my thoughts as I kind of glean through this passage. It will not be a verse-by-verse exposition. It'll just be kind of a devotion as we look forward to tomorrow being Christmas. I'm going to be looking at verses 8 through 20 of Luke chapter 2. Those verses reveal for us some of the events that took place the night our Savior and King, the Lord Jesus Christ, was born, God incarnate through the Virgin Mary and by the Holy Spirit. In this passage, I want to point out to you the glory of Christmas. And we've been singing a lot about it. I don't know if you noticed in the songs, a lot about the glory of Christmas. As you know, tomorrow is Christmas. And for the most part, the whole world will celebrate Christmas on December the 25th, as we do each year. Some to the glory of God and some not to the glory of God. There are many who do not recognize Christmas as the birth of Jesus Christ as God and Savior. The Jews today do not recognize Jesus as their Messiah, their Christ. They still are waiting for their Messiah to come. Many false religions will celebrate Christmas, but do not recognize the birth of Jesus Christ as God incarnate. He is not God to them. To them, he is just another person just like you and I. He died, they would say, as a martyr, as a prophet, as a revolutionary teacher against traditional Judaism. Some would even say he died as a picture of what God thinks of sinners, but not an actual atonement for sinners. And then outside of religious circles, to the atheistic pagan world, they would just assume have Christ taken out of Christmas altogether, and let's just call it a holiday. Happy holiday instead of Merry Christmas. Or even Xmas. They just want to X Christ right out of Christmas. This time of reverential awe and worship for God's unspeakable gift, providing a Savior to save us from our sins so that we can be delivered from the judgment of hell and have eternal life in heaven, this time has been turned into a time of selfishness, stress, and consumerism, as you well know. It is a time of gift-giving and getting to them, but the thought of Jesus Christ as a newborn King of the Jews has no part in their celebration. And Jesus being the God-man, actually God incarnate and Savior of the world, is conveniently excluded from their thoughts by everything else, the propaganda the pagan world can pump into their heads. Tomorrow is Christmas, and for the most part, the whole world will celebrate tomorrow as Christmas, December 25th. Some to the glory of God, and some not to the glory of God. That's how it is, and that's how it has always been. Since that night, Jesus was born in Bethlehem through the Virgin Mary by the Holy Spirit. The night Jesus was born, the whole world did not celebrate his birth. Even though Magi came from the east and troubled all Jerusalem looking for he who has been born King of the Jews so that they could come and worship him. Instead, all Jerusalem going to Bethlehem and to worship their Messiah, their Christ, Bethlehem turned into a place of murder and slaughter and heartache. They would just assume X Christ right out of Christmas. And they tried to. They tried to X him right out of Christmas. And to this day, they haven't stopped. That's how it is, and that's how it will always be. Some will not celebrate Christmas to the glory of God, but oh, some will. Some will. Christ was born to be a Savior, and many have experienced his saving grace and the salvation of their souls for the forgiveness of sins. In reality, Christmas brings glory to God. And when we celebrate Christmas for the reason Christ was born with a heart of praise and worship, I want you to know it brings glory to God. It brings glory to God. It exalts his sovereign grace and his divine love for his Son and for sinners. As I read Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20, notice the glory of God in this passage. As I said, this is a meditation, a devotion I want to share with you. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flocks by night. And the angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, and you will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." It came about when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see the thing that has happened which the Lord has made known to us." And they came in haste and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it has been told them. Did you notice, beginning of verse 9, the glory of the Lord shone round them? The glory of the Lord shows up and just begins to shine around these. This is the Shekinah glory of the Lord. Begins to shine around these shepherds. In verse 14, it says that the angels were praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest." And then, concluding in verse 20, the shepherds went back glorifying and praising God. There's a lot of glorifying and glorying going on. This is the glory of Christmas. In this passage about the birth of our King Jesus, there's a lot of praising and glorifying God. And that's what Christmas is supposed to be. A lot of praising and glorifying God. That's what Christmas is supposed to be. Christmas brings glory to God. The birth of the Son of God brings glory to God. This is the glory of Christmas. Now, there is in this text that which glorifies God in Christmas. And they all kind of begin with the letter G if you're taking notes. I want you to see what I've seen as I just read the scripture and just took a few notes. And my points all began to begin with the letter G. Point number one would be, G would be the good news. The good news as I read this. It says that when the glory of the Lord shone around them, in verse 10, the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all people." The first point would be good news and great joy. They both begin with a G. That's what the gospel is. The gospel is good news. The birth of Jesus Christ is part of the gospel. It's part of the gospel. It's part of the good news. The gospel, the good news, is supposed to bring great joy. The gospel is supposed to bring great joy. The good news is supposed to bring great joy. Christmas is supposed to bring great joy. It's a time of great joy for all people, regardless of station, status, age, or race. It's for all people. Every time Christmas comes, it is actually supposed to be a time of great joy because of the good news for all people. The proclamation of God's Son, born in Bethlehem, through the Virgin Mary, by the Holy Spirit, brings glory to God. That's the reason the glory of the Lord shone around the shepherds in verse 9. Because they were about to hear the proclamation of the gospel. The Shekinah glory showed up with the angel, and the proclamation of the gospel was given. I got great news for you guys. This is going to be great news. It's a time of great rejoicing for all people. What was the good news? This gospel that brings great joy to all people. What is this great news? It would be my next point, and as I look at this, it would be the gift. It would be the gift. Christmas is about a gift. Notice verse 11. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior. That verse is the gospel. It is the gospel. And the gospel is about a gift. Notice what the angel said. There has been born for you a Savior. There has been born for you a Savior. That's a gift. The birth of the Savior was for you. The purpose of the birth of the Savior is for you and for me and for all people. It is God's gift to the world. The Savior's birth is a gift from God to us. The Bible says it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And God's glory is magnified when He gave His Son to be the Savior for all people, for you and for me. He has been born for you as Savior. Now, this is where the good news is explained that brings great joy. By the way, that word good news in the original Greek is actually euangelion, which means can be translated gospel. It could be, I bring you gospel of great joy. The rest of this verse now explains what brings great joy, this gospel, to people in the world. And it is that the people need a Savior. The Bible says there, as I was thinking about this, for today in the city of David there's been born for you a Savior. You know what? People need a Savior. People need a Savior to save them from their sins. This is good news. This is great news. This is what is supposed to bring great joy. This is the gospel. An angel of the Lord told Joseph, Mary has conceived of the Holy Spirit, and she will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. People are sinners by nature and choice, and they need a Savior to save them from their sins. There is no one righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the Bible says. That's actually quoted from Psalms 14 that says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have committed abominable deeds. There is no one who does good. The Lord has looked down from heaven upon the sons of men to see if there is any who understand, who seek after God. They have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. The Apostle Paul wrote, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. God gave His one and only unique Son out of love for fallen sinners so that they would not perish but have eternal life, John 3:16 says. It glorifies God to save sinners in Christ Jesus our Lord. It glorifies God to save sinners in Christ Jesus our Lord. The glory of Christmas is that there has been born for you a Savior. That is great news. It's great news because we need a Savior. All people need a Savior. For you, as a gift to you, you need a Savior, and God gave us a Savior when His Son was born. But not just any kind of Savior. That birth of the Virgin Mary that brought the Savior into the world is defined for us in the rest of verse 11. It says, who is Christ the Lord? Christ meaning Messiah. Who is Messiah the Lord? Christos Kyrios. That's who He is. Defines for us who the Savior is. It is Christos Kyrios. It is the Messiah, the Lord. This is a significant title for the Savior. This title for the Savior is my next point. Christ the Lord is the God-man, Jesus Christ, the God-man. Virgin-born, God incarnate. The Savior who is Christ the Lord is divine. He is divine. He is divinity. In him we see the brightness of God's glory, the express image of God's person. It glorified God to take upon himself a human body without a sin nature, being virgin born. It glorified God to do that, to take upon himself a human body. Hebrews 1 says that God's Son, Christ the Lord, the Savior, is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. Jesus is the same in essence and nature as God the Father and the Holy Spirit. He is divine. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says that Christ is the glory and the image of God. That Christ is the glory and the image of God. Can't say it any clearer than this. Jesus said himself, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You want to see God? Look at me. That's what he's saying. Point being, the Savior is none other than God himself. He is the God-man. He's the second person of the triune Godhead that came down here and veiled himself in flesh, as we just sang. Incarnate deity. In 2 Corinthians 5:19, it says that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And that God made Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Verse 21. There is a reason the glory of the Lord is shown around the shepherds that night at Christ's birth. That is good news of great joy for all people. The God-man, the Messiah, the Lord, was born for us as a gift to be our Savior. The shepherds were told where and how to find the newborn Messiah, the Savior and Lord. Look at verse 12. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. Not only did the glory of the Lord shine around them, but now a multitude of angels appear with the one angel after he makes the announcement of the Savior's birth. And what do you think they're doing? What are they saying? Look at verse 13. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, guess what? Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased. Christmas is all about the glory of God in the highest. Because sinners have your Savior, and that now there can be peace between God and the sinner. There can be peace between God and the sinner because now there's a Savior that's made peace between God and the sinner. Because the Savior will save his people from their sins. And now there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, his people who he saved from their sins, Romans 8:1 says. There is now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Guess what? You've been reconciled back to God because of the Savior, and now you have peace with God. The end of verse 14 literally says, in the Greek, it was God's good pleasure to bring peace among men on earth. It's kind of a little mistranslation, but literally it says, it was God's good pleasure to bring peace among men on earth. You know why? Because it brings glory to him to be so loving and so giving, to save us from our sins through the incarnate Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior. It brings glory to God, and the angels sang of it. That's my next point. My next point, number four, is God's good pleasure. God had a divine plan. Ed read it this morning. It was God's good pleasure because it fulfilled God's plan. It fulfilled God's plan. It was God's good pleasure to take upon himself a human body without sin, virgin born, to walk among us, to teach us, to show us the glory of God, to magnify the glory of God as he died as a sinless substitute for our sins to be our Savior. You want to see the glory of God? Just look at the cross. There's no greater display of the glory of God than when you look at the cross. But he had to be born so he could go to the cross. Isaiah 53:10 says, "The Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief, if he would render himself as a guilt offering. And the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand." You know why? The next verse, "As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see and be satisfied, because the righteous one, the servant Savior, will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities." It pleased God to allow his son to be crushed because it would satisfy him for our sin. It would satisfy the Savior to die on the cross for our sins, because the result would be that he would bear our iniquities so we could be saved. It pleased God to give his son. It pleased the son to die for you. What a gift. What a gift. That's why the multitude of angels were praising God. They were experiencing something miraculous. Incomprehensible love. Amazing sovereign grace. They knew what was going on. "God, you're saving sinners. Wretched sinners who rebel against you and hate you, and you're saving them." God gave sinners the gift of a Savior, which was his divine eternal Son, to be incarnate, the God-man, to die for the sins of the sinner. And he was satisfied with the sacrifice, and it pleased him out of his own good pleasure to reconcile us back to himself and make peace with us and among men. The Savior took care of the sin problem. There was a problem. The Savior took care of it. That's what Christmas is all about. Christmas is all about the Savior took care of the sin problem. And that brings glory to God. Does it bring great joy to you? As I said, tomorrow is Christmas. And for the most part, the whole world will celebrate Christmas tomorrow, December 25th. For some, it's happy holidays. It's Xmas. For others, it's Merry Christmas, because it's a time of great joy. "For unto you the Savior has been born." For some, Christmas will bring glory to God and the glory of Christmas. For others, God will receive no glory for giving his son to be the Savior. The Savior will receive no recognition or glory either. They may receive gifts tomorrow, and there may be joy over some material gift, but the tomorrows will end and the gifts will fade, and they will die in their sins with no Savior, whom they have X'd out of their lives and have X'd out of Christmas. That's sad, but that's the way it is. That's the way it will always be. Sad, isn't it? But not for everyone. Not for everyone. For others, it is a time of glorifying and praising God. Let's read the rest of the passage. Verse 15. "And it came about when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, 'Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came in haste and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he was laying in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as it had been told them." Do you see yourself there in that passage? That's us there in verse 17. "When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child." And in verse 20, do you see yourself there? "The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it has been told them." This is now my last point. The glory you give God for Christmas. The glory you give God for Christmas. When you hear about Christmas and the good news about the gift of the God-man being born for you as your Savior, to save you from your sins, Does that cause you to praise God? Does that cause you to praise God? Does that cause you to glorify God for all that you have heard and seen? Just as I have been telling you this morning. Just as I've been telling you this morning. In the entire universe, there is nothing loftier or more important than the glory of the Lord. It is the very purpose we were created. You were created to glorify God. And the chief and highest end of man is to glorify God and to fully enjoy Him forever. That is the reason for everything. Christmas is part of it, and it is the major part of it. But the reason for everything, everything, is the glory of God. Creation is there for the glory of God. Everything He's made it is there for the glory of God. You were created for the glory of God. And it is especially the reason for Christmas. Let's leave here today with humble, thankful hearts, loving our Savior who loved us and gave Himself for us. Let's give gifts as an expression of the gift that we have received from the Lord, our Savior. Let's celebrate our Savior's birth with great joy. Let's give Him all the glory that He so rightfully deserves. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank You for... thanks is not even closely adequate of the expression of our hearts and minds. Lord, You have saved us by Your grace, and You've shed Your love abroad in our hearts. You have transformed us. You've regenerated us. You've saved us. You indwell us. And although we can't adequately say what really needs to be said, You know our hearts, and You see that. And I find great comfort in that, because You know we love You, Lord. And all those that You have saved, You know that we love You. And we thank You from the deepest parts of our hearts. And help us to show that with a heart tending towards obedience, to show our love back to You. And to, out of grateful praise and worship, help us, Lord, to be faithful. Help us to be obedient to what You tell us. Help us to gather and worship Your Son. Help us to proclaim Your word and honor it. And may You find Yourself glorified in Your church. All we can say together is Your blood-bought church this morning. And I stand with these, and we gather with one voice, and we say, we love You, Lord. Thank You for saving us. Thank You for giving us the gift of Your Son, which is eternal life. Help us to, with great joy, celebrate Christmas as it should be, regardless of what the world is doing. We pray this in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.